Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for everyone that's with us tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to come together again, to go into your word, to hear what you have to give us tonight, and then go to our knees in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for the transition that we're in. And I thank you, Father God, that we see victories. In the press, we see victories come forth. I thank you, Lord. Settle things around us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher. And guide us through this evening. In your precious name, amen. So I want to share a dream I had with you. It's a word of warning that comes with something that's very it comes with a promise if we pray. And it comes with a great victory in the end. And so my prayer is that we would all step into grace and allow God to strengthen us and allow God to ignite in our hearts faith. On March 26th, I had a dream. It was this past weekend. It's the same night that I had the dream, about the justices that I shared last night. And so I saw the United States in this dream. It was a gray-blue tint over the entire country, and it reminded me of the Great Depression. I asked the Lord what was going on, and he said, the economy. It's collapsing, and I began to see it. I felt it. I felt it take place. I can't explain that except to say if you were in the middle of an earthquake and you felt the earthquake through your body, that's what it felt like. I searched across the cities. I saw people in long lines, lines that spanned from food distribution centers and around city blocks, down the full length of each street and into the darkness. There seemed to be no end. And the Lord took me to the front of the line. I saw that each person was handed a small bag of grain, and that was all. Lines that stretched for miles for a handful of grain. I cried out to the Lord, and he said, if only they had called upon my name. He took me up above the nation, and I could see the other nations of the world. They were in the same or worse crisis. Again, he said, if only they had called upon my name. The economic collapse had been planned. It has been planned by the elite for many years. In 2008, the crash that hit the nation, orchestrated by the elite, left countless people homeless. But his children, who called upon his name, found protection under the shadow of the Almighty. This one that's coming is meant to devalue the dollar and collapse the economies the world over. They're resetting, and the goal is a one-world system. I sought the Lord on this issue, and first the Lord said again, if only they had called upon my name. And as I sat with him, he began to speak to me. The Lord is calling upon his intercessors to pray into this with great fervency. It's not his will for this level of famine and global collapse. It will be rough, but there's an opportunity for us to stand and see the salvation of our God. Secondly, God is about to release miracles in the earth, miracles that will refute the plans of the enemy and open the eyes of those in deception to the miraculous. It's time for the children of God to cast down fear and step out in faith. God wants to provide for us, multiply our grain, our oil, and our resources, just like he did for the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17. That precious widow's act of faith to prepare the last of her grain and oil to provide a morsel of food for Elijah became a catalyst for Jehovah Jireh to provide and ensure she and her posterity survived that horrible economic collapse. God is calling upon his children to take that step of faith and expect miracles. I spoke on faith for weeks at the beginning of 2022. Now's the time to walk in it. Let us exercise our faith and expect God to respond with his divine provision. And I encourage you, yes, to be frugal, but ask God for wisdom in every penny you spend. Pick up a few extra supplies you see to see you through. But when you've done all you can do to stand and see the salvation of our God. God will see us through this season. Prepare, yes, but trust in him to see you through. This is up on our website on the Ever Speaking Voice of God, page 2. Ever Speaking Voice of God 2. It's on our website, so you can read it yourself. And I walked away from that. I woke up that morning, and I walked away from that experience feeling like I really had not been in a dream. Feeling as though I was taken into the future where I experienced this. And I asked the Lord for guidance in this because this is a very heavy thing for us to hear. And he kept putting in my heart hope. He kept putting in my heart faith. And he kept saying, did I not impress upon you to release messages of faith? And I yes, Lord, you know, you say a little timidly. And he said, did I not impress upon you to release messages of faith? And as he said that, it began to wash over me through and through my spirit. And I was taken to the moment the widow told Elijah she would provide, she would give her last morsel of food. As she handed that morsel of food over to the prophet, famine was everywhere. I don't think we understand. We in this country, in America, don't understand famine like they experienced in that day. Not a drop of water fell from the sky, and not a grain sprouted from the earth. It was devastating. Everything they had was food that they had stored. Nothing could grow. And death was everywhere. So for her to take that step of faith and hand that morsel of food over to the prophet, looking into his eyes, as hard as that was to look at her son and look at the prophet and choose God and his promises, can you imagine the difficulty of that moment for her? Picture yourself. Imagine the moment of difficulty looking at her son and the prophet. And she chose hope when she chose the prophet. And as she handed that morsel of food over, her grain bin never went dry. Her oil never ran dry. Why? Because God is a God of promise. God is a God who fulfills his promises. He has never let us down. We look around us today and we think, oh, well, we've had a plandemic. We've had our election stolen. We have a man sitting in a fraudulent seat that doesn't belong to him, wreaking havoc on our nation and the nations of the world. Things are looking pretty bleak. But God says, do you see what I am looking at? Are you viewing history from my perspective? It took this to be a catalyst to get my people on their face before me, to get the world to see the darkness that is the Democratic Party, to get the earth to see the corruption that's out there. Why? So that the people will call upon the name of God. When his people who are called by his name, when his people will call upon his name, whether there is famine, whether there is drought, whether there is pestilence, whether there is war, whether there is chaos, if they will call upon his name and fall on their face before him, turn from their wicked ways, he will hear from heaven and heal their land. How does he heal the land? Revival. He gets up from his lofty throne and he pours himself out upon the nation. And that's when the vats of oil never run dry. That's when the grain bins never go empty. That's the moment, the profound moment that God demonstrates his power and his might. And the people that were atheists that morning, when they receive of the meal that afternoon, they will fall on their face and say, never did I believe that he existed. And yet, me, an unbeliever who shook my fist in his face, he loved me enough to feed me tonight. I believe. That's what God does. When the pressing comes, in the most difficult seasons, when the pressing comes, and it seems that all hope is lost, if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray, he will hear from heaven, and he will heal their land. That's the beauty of our God. We are about to see miracles in his name. We are about to see a mighty move. So whatever the enemy has planned, we must build up our faith that we can stand and see the salvation of our God. Stand and see the salvation of our God. This morning, when the Lord takes me through these interesting periods where I wake up in the night and my spirit has just been in intercession. I'm just in intercession. I'm praying all night. This morning, early in the morning, I heard, Ecclesia, arise! And it jolted me up. And two things came to mind. I've been mispronouncing Ecclesia all this time, because I used to say Ecclesia. I can't even say it the wrong way now. Ecclesia, arise. And when that happened, my spirit, I jumped up out of my bed. And I said, yes, Lord. And I went straight into intercession. You see, the season that we've been in, these past couple of years, the Lord told me that 2019 would be the year of redefining the church. That the church age had come to an end, and we were entering the kingdom age, and it would be the season of redefining the church. And oftentimes, the Lord will speak these things, and it takes time for it to roll out. But in 2020, we saw the churches close. That's the buildings, the structures, the organizations. But in 2021, the year of revelation, as God exposed the corruption, he also brought light and revelation to the ecclesia. I'm going to say it wrong again. Ecclesia. He brought it forward. Why is this so important? Because God, what does that mean? What does the word mean when the word says church? Ecclesia. Those called out of the world and up to God. That's what it means. Those called out of the world and up to God while they're still walking in this earth. He is calling us to arise and take our place. It's been a rough few years, this I know, but the Lord is saying, arise and step into your destiny. In the greatest times of pressing, in the Word of God, what do we see in Exodus? We see the people oppressed. And what did God do? The deliverer came forth. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means in the oil press, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating great drops of blood before he went to his passion, the victory over what he was about to do was won that day, that night in prayer. The Father sent angels to strengthen him. I've also been talking about that. Why is that so important? Because if you are feeling weary and weak, and if your faith is still shaken, it's time to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to strengthen you, because he wants you to be a vessel for his miracles. He wants you to be a vessel for his miracles. Can you receive that? Or is your faith still shaken? Can you receive that and step into your destiny? Can you receive that and be a part of a move of God that will break the chains off the earth? Can you believe? In the late 1800s, there was a man, Horatio Spafford. He had just lost everything. He had lost his business in the great fires of Chicago. He had lost his only son in the same fire. He was a believer. And he was headed to England to be a part of D.L. Moody's revival. he and his wife and their remaining children. He had faced a complete economic disaster. He was a very prominent lawyer. He had lost everything. He lost his son. Yet they were going to be a part of revival. He put his wife, he got held up in Chicago. He put his wife on a boat to go on ahead of him, along with their daughters. En route, the ship they were on collided with another ship, and all of his children were killed. His wife alone survived. Her name was Anna, and she sent a telegram that said, "Saved alone." In a few short months, this man had lost his business. He had lost all that he had, his son, his daughters, and he and his wife alone survived. But he was a man of faith, a man who refused to allow the enemy to stop his destiny. And he sat and he penned the famous song, "It Is Well." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet through trials, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of his glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. The wind and the waves still know his name, even those that swallowed his children whole. But my friends, that man never gave up in his faith, and he sang, "It is well with my soul." We must rise up out of the ashes. We must allow God to transform us from wanderers to warriors, people who are going aimlessly in the streets to people who are focused in their destiny. Because he set that destiny before us. And the enemy has kept us washing from side to side, hopeless and hapless, aimless, distracted. But the Lord God is calling us to set our face like flint and be determined with all that we have to fulfill the destiny set before us. Because regardless of what the last few years have brought us, it is still well with our soul. Can we embrace that? Can we look at what's taken place, what's transpired, and what the enemy plans to bring us, and say, "I will fight with my very last breath and refuse to let him take the joy, take the strength, and take my destiny from me," and determine ourselves to pray that with all that we have, to break off the enemy's plans and release God's plans of revival in the earth. Let us be the vessels through which that revival will flow Because the call and the commission is above, far and beyond one individual. It takes us all to war and refuse to be wanderers. It takes us all to turn toward the Lord and say, we will war. This is His call, His commission upon us. To not be in fear or let our faith be shaken. For in our deepest and darkest moments, His angels, they'll come and they'll strengthen and comfort. My friends, my brothers and sisters, He's calling upon you now to set the burdens down and rise up free and ready to roar. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because the Lord wants things broken off of you so that you can set your faith like flint and step into the destiny that God has not only for you, but to bring this nation through to its destiny. Why is that so important? Because when God releases it here, it will flow to the nations of the earth. We are the last stand against tyrannical rule. We can't relinquish it. We can't. And it takes us all. Several years ago, gosh, I guess it wasn't that long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I had a vision. And we were praying. And I saw us, the intercessors, and we were praying against and pressing up against a wall. And that wall actually was leaning toward us. But as we prayed, as one, that wall, we had the strength because the Lord was, you know, strengthening us. But that wall, instead of leaning in on us, it began to go upright until the momentum behind it caused it to be thrust forward on the elite. That's God's plan. I already know what the enemy's plan is. He's already spoken to me what the enemy's plan is so that we can pray against the enemy's plan. My goal, my heart, my focus is to pray into and release God's plan in the earth. So I would like to ask you guys, wherever you are, to stand. Stand. Because we're standing for something bigger than ourselves tonight. We're standing for our destiny. The destiny of the ecclesia. I'm going to say it wrong again. Lord's going to have to help correct that. And we're standing for the destiny of the move of God that's coming in the earth. Heavenly Father, I lift up these intercessors. Raise up your hands and be ready. I lift up these intercessors to you, O God. I ask, Lord God, that you would help them to lay all their burdens at your feet. Lay the baggage, the pain, the grief of the past couple of years at your feet. Help them, O God. To place these things down. To place the fear down. To place the oppression down. To place the exhaustion down. And help them, O God, to come into a spirit of unity. That we, as your body, which truly is the church, we, as your body, will arise and take our place. In the name of Jesus, I break off the fear that has been upon the body of Christ over the course of these last 2 years, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break off the oppression that has come upon the body of Christ over the last 2 years. In Jesus' name, I break off that oppression. And I speak into and release into them faith, faith that moves mountains, faith that fills up grain bins, faith that calls upon the rain from a cloudless sky to pour down on the earth, faith that stops hurricanes from crossing the boundaries set before it. Faith that unwinds tornadoes before they consume a home. Faith that moves mountains. I come against a spirit of apathy upon the body of Christ in Jesus' name. And I speak an ignition into their spirits, every one of them, an ignition and an understanding and an impartation of their destiny. That regardless of the way things look around us, they will rise up as the vessel that they have been called to be and release the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And together, O God, we stand before you in a spirit of unity, refusing to be shaken, refusing to let the enemy unseat your plans and your purposes for the ecclesia and for the nations of the earth. I thank you, Father, that you are good, you are merciful, and your love is never ending. In your precious and holy name, amen.